This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Tree Lin and Shamla Ganesan. Tonight, a call from Klang MP Charles Santiago for fairer opportunities for Indian students from the B40.
So first we speak with Charles himself to find out what's happening. And then we look at what specific assistance should be provided to students in this community to help break the cycle of poverty.
So tell us, do you think our higher education system is fair? What's been your own experience? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and today's show really has its basis in a specific statement from Klang MP Charles Santiago, but actually this statement is part of a continuum of conversation and calls, really, for this to be looked at. Now, if we just look specifically at what the MP said, Charles Santiago has called for an end to the apartheid-esque system in education, saying that it keeps qualified Indian students from the B40 community trapped in a cycle of poverty, and saying that more than 200 straight A Indian students were denied entrance into the pre-university matriculation system, while Bumiputra admissions were at 90%.
Right. So the quota system essentially is a 90-10 quota, mm-hmm. right? 10% for non-Bumiputra students. In 2019, the Pakatan Harapan Cabinet did agree to increase the student intake for matriculation programs. Initially, it was 25,000. They increased it to 40,000. However, that 90-10 quota has been maintained. And this is where a lot of these sticking points come. Because as Charles also says, so he says the use of the quota-based system and that disparity denied students access to higher education despite obtaining good grades. As he said, straight A students, right? He also said that instead of lamenting about the state of education, the education minister must create a system that's fair to all Malaysians, irrespective of race and religion.
In some ways, this is a very old conversation. It's treading a lot of very sadly familiar ground, very thorny issue, the question of quotas, especially in our higher education system. And really what it means. I think what I find most interesting is that this statement really puts it forward in a societal sense, in not just looking at individual inequality or how it might impact one person, for example, to be a straight A student and not be given a space that they deserve. But that instead it points out that when you look at it from a community-based or society-based level, you are talking about keeping entire groups of people, entire generations of people in some instances, in cycles of poverty, and also not acknowledging the ladder that education can be.
So this notion of a racial quota when it comes to accessing higher education, the reason it becomes so urgent when we talk about people from the B40 community is, of course, that that's the only way in which they can access higher education, right? Because those arguably middle class and above, but, you know, of course, we know that this isn't always the case, could opt for private education, although the financial burden of that is also something that we need to talk about. But I think that's where this comes down to, that when you are from a community that essentially looks at education and needs education as a way to break out of that cycle, and even when you actually meet the criteria to be able to access it, you're not able to because you're not from the right group. Mm-hmm. That's a painful reality to deal with.
So we'd like to hear from you. Do you think our higher education system is fair? We'd like to hear your own experience as well. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be getting Klang MP Charles Santiago to further explain his statement and where he's coming from. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:13 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Shamila. We are talking today about fairer opportunities for Indian students from the B40, especially as it pertains to higher education in Malaysia. We have been asking you, do you think that our higher education system as it currently exists is fair? What's been your own experience here? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or drop us a voice note, 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Klang MP Charles Santiago. Charles, thanks for speaking with us. So you have called for an end to the, and I quote, apartheid-esque system in education. Can you tell us more about this?
Well, I think the case in point here is the admissions to the matriculation system. There appears to be some kind of a racial quota, you know, so much for Brahmaputra students, so much for Indians, Chinese, and everybody else. And at the same time, the minister is actually complaining that the ministry of the system of education or the quality of education has an enhanced, we are stuck. He made a statement 2-3 days ago. So basically, I was responding to him saying, if you actually practice a race-based approach towards education, definitely you will have this problem. Education is a right, fundamental right, and education is fundamental to the development of any nation. And everybody who has got the capacity, capabilities, should be given access to education by the government, though. This is the role of government. And there's an expectation that the government will fulfill that role. But if you play race politics when it comes to education, clearly this is a problem for the nation, though. There are at least a minimum of 200 students, Indian students at this time, and a good number of Chinese students at this time who have got a good, 9 A's, 10 A's, and 11 A's, who have not been given a chance to enter into the matriculation system. And these are people essentially who come from the B40 backgrounds or the lower M40 backgrounds as well. So these are people who would need support in order to move up the social ladder so that we can have a much more equitable country. So I think basically education has got many purposes. One, it helps to develop the skills of the skills so that the nation can develop and grow. But at the same time, it also helps to get people out of poverty. And at the same time, it actually closes the gap between the rich and the poor. So education is multifaceted. So therefore, it is not advisable for the government to do an apartheid system, one for you because you're Malay, one for you because you're Indian, and another one for you because you're Chinese, and a fourth for you because you are an Orang Asli. Now, this is really not acceptable. So it's time that the Ministry of Education begins to have a Malaysian approach in the consistent with the Keluarga Malaysia approach, as opposed to playing the race and divide and rule approach. So this is not really something we should learn and something we should move on, though.
So this issue often gets highlighted whenever university intakes come out. What have you heard on the ground? Some specific stories or experiences maybe?
Well, basically, I have met Indian students, parents of Indian students, students themselves, parents of Chinese students and Chinese students themselves who come from poor backgrounds, who are factory workers, who are clerks, who are school teachers, who have actually invested a lot on their children, children's education, and who feel that their children are entitled for matriculation system, for example, or even to go to the university and also get the courses that they have required or they have asked for. So a lot of people ask for, you know, dentistry, ask for engineering, the law faculty and so on. But what they end up getting is arts, sciences, and other courses that the students have not asked for. So what is happening is these students are in a trap. They're good students. They perform very well in their exams, but now do not know what to do because they want to become doctors and lawyers and architects, computer scientists, data experts, a whole variety of opportunities that are available to them and interests that they have. But unfortunately, because of the system that we are embracing, because of the system that the government is practicing, these students are unable to move forward. And therefore, they have to depend on their parents and also on scholarships. Scholarships are few and far between. Not many people can get it, though. And then number two, parents are also struck because parents can't afford to send them to private schools, private colleges, or even overseas. So therefore, what we are really doing is we are not giving the opportunity for people who are good, who have the capabilities, who have shown caliber, not giving them any chance at all. So this is actually destroying the country. So I think this is where we have to learn from other countries. We have to learn from our own mistakes and move forward. And this would mean that the education must serve everybody. Yeah, education is not a privilege, though. It is a right. It's a need that you have to satisfy as a for the country's development and growth and equality in the country as well.
And how would students not having access to their desired pathways impact them? What options are they then left with?
Well, not much, because most of these children who are actually wanting to go into the university system or even the matriculation are now denied that opportunity. Either will have to go to start going to work or postpone their education to another time where they can save some money. And, you know, with this postponing their opportunities and so on means that they might not even finish it. Families now have to borrow from the banks or even from their family and friends in order to support their children to school. I mean, I meet people every Thursdays in my office and people tell me, you know, I have no choice but to borrow money to send my child to school. And given, you know, the cost of living, inflation and so on, this puts further pressure on the Malaysian family. You know, we are just coming out of a COVID crisis and most people affected by the floods are also still paying off debts from the floods. And now they don't have much money, nor do they have much savings. So they are stuck, really stuck. And this is where the government has to come to support these people. Otherwise, you have the levels of dropout is very high. So, for example, the number of dropouts in the Indian community is extremely very high, both in Sekolah Kebangsaan as well as in Tamil schools. Very, very high. But here you have students who have done very well, extremely very well. So why don't you reconsider? Why don't you give them an opportunity so that they can embrace the system and they actually can benefit from the system in the interest of the country, interest of the Malaysian family?
So what has been the reason for the government for maintaining the status quo? Have they responded to the many objections that have been raised over the years?
You know, the minister has been dead silent on this, though. I've actually sent him two letters, and I've sent him a third one asking for an appointment to see him in the office. I've tweeted him, and people have retweeted it. I don't know what else to do now. Unless I just go and wait for him in the office and sit down there from morning 9 to 5 and see if he turns up in the office to meet up with him. So I think minister cannot be quiet on this matter. This is a very serious matter. And in the case of matriculation, the review process is already over. In the next few days or next weeks, you will have children reporting to schools to start their program. So this is not fair to students who have really done well, 9, 10, 11 A's now. So I think this apartheid in education has really to stop, really must stop though. And opportunity must be given to all Malaysians though. If the Prime Minister feels that this is a keluarga Malaysia, then then everybody must get it. If then the present approach is really about anak angkat Malaysia though. There are some who are full-fledged citizens of the country. This is keluarga Malaysia. And there are others who are stepchild of the keluarga Malaysia or the anak angkat Malaysia. So the government has to decide what it wants to do, whether they think that all of us are equal citizens or they think that we are stepchildren of the country.
So in 2019, it was reported that public universities support the 90-10 ratio. What are your thoughts on their position? Is there room for them to be more vocal about this?
No, I think, you know, there is a need to rethink admission system in the country. There are many, many, many factors that goes into the way we admit people into schools. The government does the planning. It knows how many engineers it needs, you know, how many lawyers we need, how many scientists we need, data science, computer science people that we need, artificial intelligence people that we need, people who need to develop new ideas, new processes in the sciences. The government knows that in general. So what it needs to do now is allow the best minds to get into these programs. Allow the best minds to get into these programs. But at the same time, factor in the issues of closing the gap between the rich and the poor, closing the gap between the different races. All of that has to be considered as well. I'm not saying you compromise one against the other. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there is a way to do it where you can accommodate everybody. Where you can accommodate everybody. So, for example, one of the things that some of us have been promoting, is the relook at TVET. TVET should be promoted in a very big way. It should be brought under one ministry, not seven ministries as we have now, under one ministry. And that ministry becomes the focal point for TVET. And TVET, there should be a decision made by the government that after the first 6 years of education, in the seventh year, children are given the opportunity together in consultation with parents to move from into another system, which is called TVET, where they start skills development, vocational development, and other kinds of vocational training that you start with TVET. There are lots and lots of people who are not academically inclined. If you are academically inclined, then you can go up to, you know, Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, and Form 4, and Form 5. But there are thousands of people who are not inclined academically. I mean, just last year, according to the government, 25,000 people did not sit for the SPM exams. And some people have privately have said that the numbers are much higher. But the government numbers are 25,000 people. Now, this is a very, very big number. Why 25,000 young Malaysian students did not take the exam? So these are students who are, you know, who don't feel confident in taking the exam, who feel that they're not prepared, and who might have all other kinds of problems. So chances are the good number of them can take advantage of TVET starting at the Form 1 level, but moving the TVET track as opposed to going through Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, Form 4, and not doing very well in Form 5 or failing Form 5. So you wasted 5 years. So this TVET track can actually help to build skills, help to build soft skills, hard skills, soft skills, you know, your maths, your English, and whatever else. So at least when you're in Form 5, you have not dropped out from school, you have picked up the necessary skills, and you have some expertise which you can use for, you know, move forward. And it must join to some, you know, the possibility of a diploma and a degree program later on. So therefore, my view is that it's time to rethink. I mean, the minister says, look, the system is not working. People are not supporting the system, though. And that's because the system is not working for people. So now you make the system, you change it around so that it works for people.
So it seems like we do have a long way to go, but what would it take to move away from race-based quotas in higher education?
This is the million-dollar question, though. What is to take? I think we need to focus on meritocracy and opportunities. We focus on meritocracy and people who have done well, give them a chance to succeed. Because chances are these people are going to go overseas. They're going to Singapore. They're going to every other place except in Malaysia. Once they go to other countries, they're not going to come back to Malaysia. So you're going to lose a good bunch of people, a good number of people who have been trained by our local system, but eventually end up working or trained by our education system, but end up working for a European company in Europe or a Japanese company in Japan or a Chinese company in China or an Indian company in India and elsewhere in the world. So therefore, we have to work to create meritocracy. That means we work with people who have enough parents, you develop meritocracy, you get them into the system. And at the same time, you make sure that you also take into consideration the income inequality in the country. Also, to close that, you have to provide sufficient education in order for them to move up. That is why I'm suggesting that we have to relook at TVET. No? In other countries, TVET has provided support. TVET has delivered for most people. And I think it can also deliver Malaysia as well.
Charles, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Klang MP Charles Santiago, I suppose, explaining and adding on to a statement that he had made that we essentially need to move away from the current system in education that we have that denies opportunities to qualified Indian students from the B40 community, and that ends up entrapping them further in a cycle of poverty, right? Because it undermines in some ways the opportunities that higher education can present. So we've been asking you, do you think that our higher education system is fair? What has been your own experience? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And the messages are coming in. Ebi Furai says, the only time I can find the word fair in the Malaysian education system is during the education fair. There is no possible response to that, mostly because
mostly because you see it so often then. Mm-hmm. And then when else? All the other times when maybe it's more important to see. Meanwhile, TIDJ says, I very much agree with the MP. Race-based quota systems need to be abolished in education. I do think, though, when it I do feel that I need to mention that on his statement regarding matriculation, it isn't an alleged quota. It is a quota based on a social contract.
Well, I think that's partly the problem, isn't it? It's that's why it's so difficult to talk about it. That's why it's so difficult to advocate for it or to do something about it.
Keep those thoughts coming. We do have to head to the news, but we'd love to continue hearing from you. Do you think our higher education system is fair? What has been your own experience in this area? If you want to share, that number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp or send us a voice note, 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are speaking today about, a particular statement specifically from Klang MP Charles Santiago, who has called for an end to what he calls the apartheid-esque system in education, pointing out that the current quota system ends up keeping qualified Indian students from the B40 community trapped out of the possibility of higher education, pointing to numbers like 200 straight A Indian students being denied entrance into matriculation. And so we've been asking you, I guess, essentially what you make of it, but also, do you think our higher education system is fair? What has been your own experience? Again, those numbers to call, 7733 2900. It's 018-789-8899 to WhatsApp or send us a voice note, and you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And before we move on to our next guest to talk about the kinds of assistance that would be helpful for students, for this particular group of students, students from this particular community, we'd like to get to some of your messages because there's so many.
Let's start with this from Rosmawati, who says, the move to ensure more Bhumis have access to higher education was to ensure they came out of poverty and secured a career. However, if we have quota based on race instead of merit, then we are going to have Bhumi grads that may or may not meet the minimum standards. What's the most suitable approach then? Should we follow meritocracy or B40 first or Bhumi first? My opinion, go for meritocracy for higher education. Those who don't make the cut can always go for skills-based job or TVET system. It's a win-win for all Malaysians, regardless of race.
I mean, that sounds incredibly logical. I think also we heard Charles Santiago earlier talk about part of the overhaul of the education system being a deeper championing of TVET, the understanding that it is not a second-rate opportunity or a second choice. And so if we start moving towards that, right, then indeed it is going to be fair because it's not going to be seen as people who couldn't make it mm-hmm. getting into this. Instead, it's opportunities for everybody in hopefully high-paying or good-paying careers. We also have this from Shishadri, who says, it's a sad reality that the education system runs on quotas rather than merit, even in this age. How can we pride ourselves in our country's diversity when we deny bright students the right to improve their livelihoods and that of their families solely because of their background? In a more general sense, this sort of discrimination is precisely why we see that the majority of Malaysian students who study abroad come from minority backgrounds, and yet we have some people, former school teachers in my case, who question the level of patriotism of these students when they choose to work abroad once they graduate.
Brain drain is actually coming through in a number of messages, and earlier Charles referred to it as well. And yes, I mean, it's a natural result of feeling like you don't get opportunities here, right? And yet, I think worth also saying, not everybody has the means or the privilege to be able to seek educational opportunities elsewhere. And that's why it's actually particularly important to bridge this gap.
Thevi says, following Santiago's statement, my nieces and nephews say that they cannot afford more than one baby because they say they can't afford their children's education in time to come, completely disregarding public education.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually know a number of people who make decisions about how many children to have based on how much of their education they can afford. So this is one of the sad sort of knock-on effects of these sorts of policies.
Keep those thoughts coming. Is our higher education system fair? What has been your own experience here? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And now for the second half of our show, we are going to look at the kind of assistance that would be most helpful to be provided to students to Indian students from the B40 community to help address these issues and break the cycle of poverty. And joining us to do that is Karthikes Rajamanikam, Central Committee Member for Party Socialist Malaysia. Karthik, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Hi. Good evening.
So we wanted to start by getting your thoughts on Charles Santiago's statement. What do you think?
Yeah. I just getting over it. Partially, I do agree, but I think we must agree that most of our education system is based on market requirements. We already prioritize most of our education system, and it's go back to like 20 years back. And I do think Charles are talking only about our government-based education system. But let's say we follow of his ethnic-based analysis. I think less than 10% of Indian students are pursuing higher education. But we must talk also that more than 75%, many of us, 3/4 of them, are outside that system. They are young workers. I think our focus always on a smaller party when we must talk also with these young workers. They are students, but they turn to be, they're not pursuing higher education, they become a young workers. Some of them may be based on certs and diplomas, but most of them are earning minimum wage. So when we are saying our students are in the cycle of poverty, I think we must also focus on the young workers, low minimum wage, union suppression, works on contract-based IN housing scheme. I think there are many culprits if based on ethnic analysis for our Indian students. And for me, it's for all students. So I think partially I agree, partially I'm not.
Could you give us a brief overview of what kind of targeted assistance is currently available for students in the Indian community?
Not particularly Indian community, but I think when I'm talking to our students, they're saying that RMT is helping. The food, you know, the food that you're getting early morning is very, very helpful. When I talk to people, with students, like 3 of 10 of them are not taking any money to the school, and they're really reliable on this food. So at the early stage, early year, every year, parents are getting some money assistance. I think from Guam or something, I think around 150, 200. So that's a little bit helpful. But it's quite unfortunate for us when our politicians are thinking that RMT should not be given. You know, they're cutting budget for an RMT. I think we heard about it 2-3 years ago. Then a lot of shouts from the society, then they take it back. You know, so we must see. I think that kind of targeted assistance is available and it's really helpful.
We have been talking about how to address the issue of poverty and low income in the B40 Indian community for a long, long time. What role does education play in breaking the cycle of poverty, or at the very least, reducing it?
I think we need to address the root, not the symptoms. When we are talking about the symptoms, yes, we are talking about a better education system, better opportunities to the people, to the students, availability of education to the student. So, when I'm talking about the root system, we are talking about the poverty among the parents, the workers, when they are the base when they're providing education to their children. We are talking about we are cutting our how many children that we must have because of the addiction. But I think we are cramping our society. We are cramping our society with less low wage, and our environment, our housing schemes are most focused on M40 and T20 and not B40. Just for last two, three years. Let's say we forget about the COVID. Before COVID itself, before COVID 10 years ago, we are seeing that many houses for B40 are less built. For us, many houses are based on market demands for higher earned society. But we are talking here about poverty, the B40. When we are not providing our student with a proper environment to students to study, we are not providing our parents, our workers with a good wages, and the situation is not suitable for our students. I think we must talk about that route. Our economic system are not favoring B40. So I think the focus must be on that. I think that's my.
So speaking of, you know, the roots of some of these challenges, what do you think that the root of education inequality, particularly for the Indian community, comes down to the lack of funding or financial issues?
Yes, I do believe education is for all and opportunities must be available equally. But we have to agree that all schools must be funded by the government. Unfortunately, some of most of our vernacular schools are partially funded. Inequality happens itself there. Some of them are, but also some of them funded well with good connectivity with the communities. We can see some of our VVIPs, our ministers are sending their children to Chinese schools. Unfortunately, we can't see the same scenario in Tamil schools. So it's obvious that Tamil schools are much less being funded. At some extent, it do impact the performance. But yes, that's the first thing. You know, the all schools must be equally funded and being prepared to give a proper education to all. That's one of the first. Yes, I agree with that.
We're speaking today with Karthikeyan Rajamanikam, Central Committee Member of Party Socialist Malaysia, about targeted assistance. And this is part of a larger conversation about how our education system isn't being sufficiently fair to high performers, particularly those from disadvantaged communities. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think our education system is fair? What has been your own experience? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll continue our conversation after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Big flourishing mangroves, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:50 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And we are talking today about a call that came from Klang MP Charles Santiago for an end to the kind of the quota system, basically, in education, which he argues has denied high-performing students, particularly those from the B40 Indian community, from being able to access higher education. And with that, we've been asking you whether you think our system, our higher education system, is fair. What has been your own experience? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation now with Karthikeyan Rajamanikam, Central Committee Member of Party Socialist Malaysia. So, Karthik, one of the things that we've heard is that many former Tamil school students have spoken out about how tough it was for them to make it through university and also about the limited job opportunities that are available to them. What's your take on this?
I agree. I think it's tough to reach there. We can't deny that. But I'm not sure about the job opportunities. I think that we must see that the system here is creating jobs based for the markets to fulfill the boss demands. I think that's market-based jobs are always available but limited. The system need more hard job workers, not professionals. At the same time, we are not creating job based on arts. We are not creating job based on social science services, jobs that not for profits. That kind of thing, you know. So when the students are talking about limited job opportunities, I think they're talking about professional jobs. It's a really professional market-based jobs. Yes, it's less, but it's also when we're having a policy driven by market profits. So the jobs are created based on what our policies are being created. So that's the thing. So I think we need to change that kind of policies. We need to create more jobs based on arts, services, social science, that kind of thing.
Has there been enough advocacy on this issue of education inequality on behalf of the Indian community when it comes to the Day One Riot?
I think I heard and I read a lot. There's a lot of good ideas, suggestions being brought out, policies being brought up, but it's more on a political way. It's more on the political will of the ruling class of that present day. You know, if more than advocacy in the parliament. When some policies are brought out by opposition, usually opposition will bring out brought out this kind of ideas or suggestions on education. But unfortunately, it always becomes suggestions. It never comes to true because only the ruling government can come out with their suggestion acts and everything. And based on their ideology, I think most of our ruling class for last 65 years are based on a capitalist system, and it's not based on a progressive of any particular race for me.
Higher education can be costly. This is just a fact. How can this be addressed on a larger scale beyond the government offering a select number of scholarships for students each year?
Actually, at my early stage of activism, we formed Gerakan Menuntut Pendidikan Percuma GMPP, a coalition demand free education for all. Actually, government can provide free education till first degree. I mean, to all. We can see from our national audit reports every year, we got a lot of katirisan leakage, you know, in the way we spend our money. Millions of money have been spent illegally, you know. The report says our leakage reached billions of ringgit, and it continues year and year. There's no proper action be taken to reduce that leakage. And we need a few billions only to reach that kind of goal, free education for all. We can solve it. Actually, if we can solve this leakage, actually we can do much for our education system. Unfortunately, also, our politicians are creating and created this PTPTN loan to fulfill the demand of private education sector. But the same politicians and our some higher level of professionals and their families involved in directly investing into these private universities. So our ruling class is creating this kind of private sectors, private education sector. So I don't think giving a bit a select number of scholarship to every student can resolve the root cause. First, education must be, it's not a privilege, it's a right. I think that kind of policy must be taken front. Then we must be put more policies on make this education for free as a reality. And this kind of politicians should not sit on the same chair who are created private sectors. So it's directly conflicts. So I think we can provide free education to all.
In closing, what kind of long-term actions would you like to see?
For long-term action, I think people of all race come together and write off this ethnic-based politics. Ethnic-based politics, either as a party or politicians, the policy must be based on class analysis and not ethnic-based. I do believe quota system, because the quota system must based on socio-economic structure and not ethnic-based system. When this kind of policy are coming together, coming to in front, most of those who are at the poor society can benefit from it, and at the same time, all students, regardless of their race, regardless of their ethnic, can benefit from the education. I think education must be free to all.
Karthik, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Karthikeyan Rajamanikam, Central Committee Member for Party Socialist Malaysia, weighing in on our topic today, which has really focused on education inequality, particularly for students from the Indian B40 community who have done well and yet find themselves unable to access higher education. And we've been asking you for your thoughts and also whether you think our higher education system is in fact fair. So many messages have come in.
Madhav says, I've been in the estate environment since I was born. The solution is not going to be quick or easy. First, educate the parents and the community on the importance of education to prevent them from pressuring kids to get to work as soon as possible to support the family financially. Second, employers need to provide incentives to families whose kids do well in school. This is the hope that the parent will see the more immediate reward of good education. Third, targeted sponsorship by state and federal government based on needs rather than race. The government can use the Bantuan Sara Hidup data as a start. Then we can talk about opening up the quota system to tertiary education. Even then, it's the tip of the iceberg. Loads more needs to be done. I've seen children of high-level executives getting scholarships to study overseas. Something is seriously wrong.
Madhav, thank you so much for sending that in. I think that you raise truly several good points and ways in which we could think about moving away from what we currently have. Going back to this idea of a quota and what it's supposed to achieve, though, Ganesh says, my humble opinion, it's okay to have a quota, but filled with the deserving ones. For example, 90% of places must be given to, for example, Bumiputra, who receives straight A. If there's extra capacity, then you open it up to allow straight A students of other races. Young also says, it's not right to have an excessive quota system, but some kind of quota is required given our diversity in history. It should be transparent and clear. We have so many structural issues with education, including that of the vernacular issue.
So I think, as our guest Karthik said earlier, a quota system is not necessarily the issue, but it's how you have a quota and how you implement it, right?
Who the quota applies to.
And I mean, I always lean towards a needs-based quota rather than one defined by other sorts of demographics.
Let us know. Do you think our higher education system is fair? What has been your own experience? That number to call, 7733-2900. WhatsApp or voice note, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.